Welcome to the podcast for Sound the Trumpet, How to Blow Your Own Horn, written by Jonathan Harnum and read by me, John Harnum. Thanks for listening. You can learn more about this book and my other books at allabouttrumpet.com. There you'll also find free video lessons, a whole bunch of free PDFs with scales and lesson plans and lesson tracking and all kinds of other stuff. There are also some free MP3s related to this book. And there's also a store for many things trumpet related, including more method books, recordings, all kinds of gear for playing. So go have a visit. There's lots of free stuff there. And if you're asked for a password, password from one of my other books, the password is Lewis, as in Lewis Armstrong. We'll see you online. This podcast covers Part 2, Chapter 7, Taking Notes. The notes I handle no better than many. But the pauses between the notes, that is where the art resides. Arthur Schnabel, 1882 to 1951. This chapter covers basic note reading skills, finding your starting note, C and G, the first five notes of the C scale variations, and the C blues scale. Some terms to know. Staff, the five lines and four spaces on which music is written, Western music. Ledger lines, small lines used above and below the staff to extend its range. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, the letters used to name musical pitches. Treble clef is a symbol at the beginning of the staff that sets the letter of the staff. Open, no vowels pressed down. Fermata, a musical symbol indicating a hold or a pause. Stepwise, moving from one note to the next available note, up or down, also known as diatonic. Warning, take your time. If reading music is new to you, it will take some time before it makes sense. You should refer back to this chapter as often as you need to, and don't feel bad about spending 2 to 3 weeks or more on this chapter alone. Continue to just mess around with the trumpet. You'll be playing things naturally that would seem very difficult if you have to read the music notation. For example, play an open note, no vowels down, then fan your second vowel. That means push it up and down as fast as you can. This is called a trill. It sounds cool, and it's easy to do. However, the notation for a trill isn't taught in any beginning trumpet book or band method that I know of. To find out more about these devices, see Ornaments Aren't Just for Christmas on page 177. So keep messing around and making up your own sounds on the horn while you chip away at the skill of reading music. If you're interested, you can go to allabouttrumpet.com and find one of my other books on how to read music. Much more information in there than you'll find in this chapter. So enough, an ultra-brief introduction to written music. If you've never read music before, prepare to be a little bewildered by the information and terms I'm about to throw at you. Don't panic. You only have to remember one or two key concepts at this point, and you can give yourself a review anytime you need it. For more in-depth instruction on how to read music, pick up a copy of Basic Music Theory. You can find it at local independent bookstores or music stores. You can find it at Amazon, too. In fact, you could probably find the PDF for free online. Most of the information below is taken from that book. So far in this book, I've tried to avoid written music because you've got enough to deal with already. And anyway, making music is not about written notes on a page. It's about sound. If you feel more comfortable just playing the trumpet and don't want to deal with reading music yet, by all means, wait a few more weeks. But don't wait too long. There are millions of excellent musicians in the world who don't read music. It's not a requirement. But written music is such a great tool that it would be silly to avoid it. If you're reading this book, you possess more than enough skills to read music. In fact, you're not reading this book, you're listening to it, but you get the idea, right? It might be confusing at first, but stick with it because it will open up a whole universe of music for you to play. So here we go. Now, some of this is going to be a little difficult in this version of the book because you're not going to be able to see what it is you're reading. So I'll just kind of explain it. That will also make this chapter somewhat short, but there's some good information in here nonetheless. So start out with the staff. Music is written on a staff, plural staves, more than one. One staff is five horizontal parallel lines. You've seen this many times. The five lines create four spaces between them. Lines and spaces are numbered from the bottom to the top. So the first line is line one, the first line from the bottom. The second line up is line two. The middle line is line three. The next line is four, and then five, right? So in the spaces, the very first, the bottom space, is space one, then space two, space three, space four. So as far as the names of the notes go, you'll be happy to find out that you only need the first seven letters of the alphabet for written music. The music alphabet uses A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. You'll never find an H in music or a Q or anything other than A through G. This is it. This is one of those few rules that has no exceptions. Below you can see the names of the notes on the staff for trumpet. Note how the note names repeat again after the seventh one. Now, the trumpet music is written on what's called the treble clef staff. We're not really going into clefs here, but it's a curvy thing that you've probably seen many times before. The treble clef staff gives these letter names to the note. And I'll give you all the line notes, which is E, G, B, D, and F. That's going from lowest to highest. All the space notes are F, A, C, and E. So if you notice this too, if you're looking at the staff, if you go the bottom line is E, the next space is F, the next line is G, the next space is A, it goes E, F, G, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, line, space, line, space, line, space. Okay. When notes go higher or lower than the staff, ledger lines are used to extend the staff. Ledger lines are short little lines on which you can write notes. And there are some examples of ledger lines below the staff, which are some of the notes you're going to play early on. And they're little note or little lines, like I said, and they can either go through a note, through the middle of a note, or a note will rest on one side or the other of it, depending on whether it's a space note or a line note. You got rhythm. Rhythm is the essential glue that binds music together, most music anyway. Rhythm is so important that without it, some music wouldn't exist at all. The rhythm of a piece can be felt through the beat. The beat of nearly any piece of music is easy to feel. It's what sets your toe tapping. It's what makes you dance. The beat is a regular pulse, like your heartbeat, which lasts throughout a piece of music. You'll use the beat to define the length of notes. There are only three different note lengths to learn at first. You'll notice that the half notes and quarter notes have two examples, one with the stem down, for high notes on the staff, and one with the stem up, for low notes. From longest to shortest, the notes are whole note, which is four beats each. It's kind of circular looking. And all notes are named because of their relationship to the whole note. For example, a half note is just two beats because half is half of four, right? Whole note, half of four is two. Quarter notes are one beat each. They're a quarter the length of a whole note, which is four beats. The rest of the story. It's important, actually, to go back and make sure you look at these and see what they look like. Half notes look like a D or a P, depending on which way the stem is going. Quarter notes also look like a D or a P, but the circular part in the middle is filled in. It's black. So rests, the rests of the story. Silence in music is as important as sound, and of course we crafty humans have invented a way to show the silence in music, rests. Rest lengths and rest names are the same as the note lengths you learned above just a minute ago. They are whole rests, half rests, and quarter rests. Whole rests hang from the fourth line, are a small square, sort of rectangular. They're four beats long, and they look like a little box. You can't see the picture, but trust me. A half rest sits on the third line. Half rests are two beats long and also have the same box-like shape. They're filled in, totally black. Quarter rests are one beat long and are kind of squiggly. This is a difficult thing to describe if you're not actually looking at it, so check out what a quarter rest looks like. One trick you can use for whole rests or half rests is a whole rest kind of looks like a hole in the ground. If somebody's walking over, like a little person, they would fall in this hole. So it's hanging from that fourth line. A half rest looks kind of like a hat, so like hat rest. I know it doesn't really sound like that, but, you know, work with me. It looks kind of like a pork pie hat. If you don't know what a pork pie hat is, Google it and you'll find an image. Lester Young was called Mr. Pork Pie Hat by some. C and G are going to be your first notes. So even though you only have to deal with seven letters in written music, we're going to get even simpler and make your first two notes either C or G. Both of these are fingered open, no vowels down, and you'll find one of these easier to play than the other. If you've been practicing your buzz, you'll have little trouble playing either of these notes. In fact, if you've been practicing your buzz, you'll probably be able to play even higher than these two notes, but we'll get to that later. The C is the lowest note on the trumpet and is usually the easiest for most beginners to play. For some, however, the G comes out more easily. So see if you can play both of them. To find out if you've got the right notes, you have a couple options. I'm going to play them in a second here. You can also go to the allabouttrumpet.com website for the sound clips. If you have access to a piano, you can find out the pitch of C and G by referring to the keyboard diagram. There's one in this book. There's a free PDF of that also at allabouttrumpet.com. Let's see. The final and best option is to actually have a trumpet player, your teacher or someone you know who plays better than you, who knows what these are, to play these notes for you so you can imitate them. If you already know the notes on the piano keyboard, you'll notice that the notes you see written on the keyboard that you'll see in this chapter aren't the same as the letter names you've learned for the piano. Don't worry, trumpet is what's called a B-flat instrument, and this means its notes are different from those on piano. They're written differently. Piano is known as a C instrument. So don't sweat it right now if it seems confusing, and it is confusing. But to learn more about this, we're going to cover that in Trumpet is a B-flat instrument on page 193. So for now, don't worry about it. So here are the two notes. I'm going to play the C first, the lower one, and then the G.
This is the C. This is the G.
If you look at the keyboard, you'll see that there are six other notes between C and G. There are also six other vowel combinations between those open notes. Can you discover what they are without looking at the fingering chart in the back of the book? Try. Use your ears and your brain to discover what they are. It's more fun to pit your wits against such a challenge, and learning this way is usually more rewarding and beneficial than simply just reading the information. In addition, you'll remember better if you work it out for yourself. So if I give you a hint, when you push down the second valve, that's the shortest distance of slide on the trumpet, is the middle valve. That changes the pitch a half a step. The first valve, your first finger, changes the pitch a whole step. It's twice as long of a slide as the middle valve. The third valve changes the pitch a step and a half. So it's the same length as the first valve plus the second valve, all by its little lonesome. So if you know that, you should be able to figure out different combinations. There's seven different combinations. So we're not going to deal with all of them yet, but just practice C and G until you get them both easily and can tell the difference between the two. You should be able to tell the difference both by how it feels and by how it sounds. More notes. D, E, and F. So above I said there were six combinations between G and C, right? So you're going to only need three of them for a while, in addition, of course, to the open ones. These three combinations you'll learn right now are the notes D, E, and F. The D is written on the space just below the treble clef staff. The E is on the first line. The F is on the first space. And in just a second, I'll play what those look like. Again, you can see on the keyboard where these fall if you have the book. So here is D, E, and F.
Here's the D. The E. And F.
So including the C and the G, these are the first five notes of the C major scale. The major scales are very important in music because all other scales and most concepts of harmony use the major scale as a reference. For now, memorize these first five notes until they're entirely automatic. I'll say this many times in the hopes that it will stick. Music is not about notes on the page, but it is about sound. Don't worry about getting the right number of beats per note in the examples below. Simply hold out each note with the most beautiful tone you can muster for one full breath, then go on to the next. Memorize these notes as quickly as possible, both in the way they sound and how they feel to play. Practice them forwards and backwards and as many combinations as possible, as many as you can think up. Different rhythms, different loudnesses. You'll begin to discover songs that use these notes if you start to do this. If you start on E and play down to C, you've got the first few notes of Mary Had a Little Lamb. Yahoo, that's a fun one. Use songs that are interesting to you. Mary Had a Little Lamb, not so interesting, but simple. Don't worry about how songs will look when written down right now. Just find the notes. You know the rhythms and the pitches you need to hear, and just trust yourself. It's much more complicated to actually read the music than to try to figure out music that you already know by ear. When you practice these notes, only glance at the fingering to get it right, if you need to even do that. When playing, focus on the note. Your goal is to read music, and this is essential if you're doing this. If you stare at the fingering underneath the note, that is what you're going to learn. Now, you can't actually see anything at all at this point, so if you have music, when you read the music, look at the note, not the fingering below the note. When it comes time to read the notes without fingering, you'll be lost because you memorized the fingering and not the note itself. So check the pitch of most of these notes with a keyboard to make sure you've got it. Be prepared to spend some time on this part. It'll take at least a week, and probably more, if you really want to get it down, that forwards and backwards and skipping around, all that stuff. You know, one time through is great, but you have to do it many, many, many more times for this information to become memorized. And don't let this frustrate you. It's normal, so get used to it. Whenever you learn something new on trumpet, you'll have to spend quite a lot of time practicing it before it feels natural. So just keep at it, be patient, and you'll get it. The first five notes of the trumpet C scale, again, I've got a sound clip here. I've got three different versions in different orders. And, this is going to be kind of boring to listen to. You know, actually, I'm not going to put it in. It's too boring. If you want to check this out, go to allabouttrumpet.com. Click on the title for Sound the Trumpet, and you'll find the free stuff in there. And you'll find this free MP3. So once you have these five notes memorized, begin to vary the speed and the order in which you play them, too. Tap your foot to keep it rhythmic if you want. Use a metronome to keep yourself steady. If you want to learn how to use the metronome, you can see the metronome on page 75. There are an endless variety of songs you can create using just these five notes. Change the rhythm, change the order, repeat some notes, play others only once, skip notes, come back to them later, play some softly, some loudly, and on and on and on. So just try to be aware of making something different or new or just interesting to yourself. I was going to say be creative, but that's kind of hard to do on the spot. Forget creative. Just make some stuff up. Don't be afraid to experiment. That's where the fun is. So reading the music. In all of the examples that we've been doing so far, there's been no rhythm. You're simply holding each note out for a full breath, and that's pretty easy. So you can start to add rhythm to the notes that we've learned. And when you do this, tapping your foot is important so you can get the count right on all the notes and all the rests in between. The rests between the notes are provided to give you a chance to prepare for the next note. So look ahead, push the right valve, and get your chops ready so you can play exactly on the first beat of the next measure. These examples start simple and move on from there. Start with just a bunch of C's. And again, these clips are at clip 7.8 at allabouttrumpet.com. And then we go through, there's some more exercises for changing notes. There's some more exercises that have a tie, which is tying two notes together. You have a very long note at the end of some of these. Those are examples 7.9. I've also got some duets here. So playing an instrument by yourself is pretty fun, but when you start to play with others, it's even more fun. However, when you do play with others, it's easier to get distracted by what the other person is playing. Not only that, but your rhythm needs to be exact when you play with others so that you're playing together. If you leave out or add beats in written music anyway, the parts won't line up and the music won't sound as good as it should. These are two great reasons to play music with other people. Now, if you're not reading music and you're just playing with other people, it doesn't matter. If you keep on the same sort of pulse when you play, it might sound cool. If you have completely different pulses, that might also sound cool. So, however, when you're reading music, it's important that you both are on the same page, so to speak. Same speed, same beat. So up next are some duets, some written music duets. And you can find these sound files also at allabouttrumpet.com. Again, these are B-flat instruments. So if you have a friend who plays trumpet or clarinet or treble clef baritone, you'll be all set, bass clarinet too. If you don't, it's going to sound a little odd, but you know, you can still make it work. These sound clips are, what are they, 7.10. There's four little duets there. So there's some more notes. The first five notes that we've been doing are important, and there are a whole bunch more. Once you've got those first five memorized, they're pretty solid. Move on to the ones you've got below here. Just as with the first notes you learn, play these for one full breath and focus on the quality of your tone. Play them as many times as you need to until you have the feel and sound and fingering of the note memorized. Search out songs which use these notes to get in some practical use. So, and better yet, you know, just make up your own. These are sound clip 7.11, and the notes, we're going to start on C, the low note, the low open note you've already learned. Then we're going to go down to B, A, and G, and this is on page 95. Now, these are pretty low notes. You might have some trouble getting down that low. Some things that can help you is to use warm, slow air. So, like that kind of air, warm, slow air, and just very relaxed in the center of your lips, warm, slow air, and you should get it. So higher notes above G takes good air, faster air than lower notes, correct embouchure formation, good posture, and some muscle strength. If you've been doing your buzzing both with lips alone and the mouthpiece, you probably have no trouble with the following notes. If you haven't been doing buzzing exercises, you know, you might want to think about it. Even if you have been doing the buzz, the following notes will take some effort, and to get them to sound beautiful will take a lot of critical listening and a lot of long tones, just like with all the other notes you've learned. So take large breaths, because higher notes need faster air and more compression. The only way to get your air faster is to take more of it into your lungs and compress it before blowing. This means you have to work to push that air out faster, and when you're doing this correctly, you'll feel it in your stomach muscles, and your face might turn a little red. Don't use pressure on your lips to get these notes, so like cramming the horn onto your face is no good. If you've been doing your buzz exercises, you should need very little pressure to get the notes. You definitely want some, so the mouthpiece is sealed, you know, pretty firmly against your lips, because you're putting a lot of pressure through them. So for more information on increasing your high range, see What is the High Range on page 135. If you get these notes easily and want to learn more, check out the fingering chart in the back of the book and get yourself a songbook that uses notes higher in the range. And good job. Keep it up. So here is example 7.12, and it's the also 7.12 sound clip. It's the A, the B, and then the C. So you've probably noticed that we've started to repeat some note names like C, A, and B. Remember, there are only seven letter names for notes in music, and so as you go higher, note names will repeat at what's called the octave, or every eight notes. There's a reason for this repeat of note names. All A's, B's, etc. will blend together so well that you'll have a hard time separating one from the other, unless one is very high and one is very low. The reason the notes have the same name is because they blend so well. Coming soon is a chapter that has a bunch of simple tunes, so you can get some practice out of these notes that you've learned. And again, there are sound clips with the podcast, but I'll probably just make those available and not actually read the chapter, because there's kind of no point. But up next, most of the examples you've had so far involve notes spaced apart from one another to keep things simple. When one note immediately follows another, however, these notes need to be separated, and to do this you use your tongue. That may not have made sense, but it will in the next chapter. The next chapter teaches you all you need to know about using the tongue to separate notes. Most of it's very simple, common, you know, common sense stuff, and there are also a couple more advanced techniques that'll take some serious study before they're mastered, but, you know, why not start now, right? Okay, so that's it for Chapter 7. Stay tuned for Chapter 8. Thanks for listening. Remember that you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes or on my blog. And again, you can reach those at allabouttrumpet.com. This work is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-alike 3.0. Have fun. Good luck with your practice.